I thank God for His marvelous grace, for allowing me to make it to Richmond one more time. God is a mighty good God, and He's worthy to be praised. I'm so thankful for His grace, His mercy, and His favor. I don't know how you feel about it, but the Lord has been good to me. And I'm thankful to be here in Richmond one more time to have association with my elder brother, Brother Joseph Brown. He's lived so long that he's forgotten his age, but we've been friends more than 60 years, so you know. I'm thankful to him and the leadership of this great church for the marvelous opportunity to come and share a word about the Lord Jesus Christ. Grateful for his lovely wife, Sister Phyllis Brown. A woman whose price is far above rubies. She's a marvelous first lady. She's rooted and grounded in the faith. And Richmond is blessed to have these two warriors who've been on the battlefield for a mighty long time. I want to say I thank God for the fellowship that we had. I don't normally go out with preachers every day when I'm in a meeting. I need some time to catch up with myself. But when I was here last time with my wife, they had insisted we go out every day. Every day. And little did I know that my wife would not be here again. She enjoyed herself here and had an association with Phyllis in particular, and Brother Brown. But the Lord called her from labor to reward February 21st, and she was funeralized on March 1st. And Brother and Sister Brown and Lauren came up to Newark. And don't you know, you bless my soul, some 50-plus preachers came to support Brother Lawton in the loss of his wife. And I tell you, that was invigorating. And we're thankful for your love and the many words of condolence that I received from the Sandy Road Church of Christ. You've been a blessing to me. I bring you greetings from the Newark Church of Christ, where Brother Brown, I've been preaching for the last 52 years. And I don't feel no ways tired yet. I appreciate your support to the Northeastern Youth Conference. We had the 50th Northeastern Youth Conference April of this year. And I tell you, it was the most exciting youth conference when some 1,000 people plus came. And we had a super marvelous time in the Lord. And I'm so glad that Richmond was in the number. Dale Avenue was in the number. Sandy Road was in the number. Help me, somebody. Now, to some of you newcomers, you don't know what Dale Avenue is all about. But I do know. I was about to take a seat in Brother Brown's old office, and he almost OJ'd me, trying to keep me from sitting down. He said, no, don't sit there. It's wet. Rain was falling in the ceiling. And he ushered me to a place I could sit in his office. You've come a mighty long ways. And I'm thankful for your progress. And to see this awesome structure, and to see you in great numbers here today, is soul fulfilling and invigorating to see the progress that you've made. May God bless you and keep you. To those of you who are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that we are a friendly, Bible-believing church. And we believe that the Bible is right. Now, we're not trying to fool nobody. Everybody at Sandy Road is not right. Help me, Lord Jesus. But the Bible is right. So if you find some member of the church who's not walking right and talking right and not living right, that does not speak about all of us. This Bible is right. Hello? It was right before you were born, and it'll be right when you're gone. This Bible is right. I was in Greensboro last week for the national lectureship, and we had a great time in Greensboro, one of our great lectureships. And there was a lot of discussion about the millennium. God's word fits everybody. Doesn't matter whether you are Gen X or baby boomers or Brother Brown's age. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The word of God is for everybody. Am I right about it? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And all of us have to bow down to the word of God. The theme is according to thy word. Whatever the Bible says, the Bible is right. Hello? I'll say my own men, that the Bible is right. Amen. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. You're standing on shaky grounds right now. And if you die without becoming a child of God, you're going to be lost forevermore. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in hell. That's all right. You don't have to believe in hell to go to hell. When Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, you got to move. And if you start rolling your eyes and sticking out your mouth and help me somebody, he got 10,000 angels to move you out of the way. Today is your day. Today is your moment to say yes to Jesus Christ. With Donald Trump in the White House, honey child, you need to get your business straight. The water is ready. The clothes are ready. They're sanitized. And you don't have to worry about catching nothing. And we got caps for men and women. If some of you men just had your hair fixed, you don't want to lose them curls. We got caps for everybody. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to get you to understand that The Sandy Road Church loves you. And it has done all that it can to make it convenient for you to become a child of God. So when the song of invitation is being sung, I trust that there will be several of you to walk down the aisle, give God your heart, give the preacher man your hand. We'll take your confession, and you'll be baptized this morning and go home a child of King Jesus. And can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. Is he all right? Does anybody know that he's all right? I know he's all right. And I'm going to love him until I die. Now, I've been up here 11 minutes and 11 seconds, 12 seconds, 13 seconds. But I noticed you all were not in a hurry. I didn't get up here until an hour and 10 minutes after we started. There is a word from the Lord in Acts chapter 26. And I want to park at verses 24 and following. I trust you have your Bible with you. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Say amen to the reading of God's word. The sermonic tag that I'd like to connect with this message this morning is the uniqueness and the urgency of being a Christian. A person may go to heaven without ever having seen the captivating Niagara Falls or the breathtaking beauties of the Grand Canyon or the stately White House in Washington, D.C. But no man, no woman, no boy or girl who has reached the age of accountability can go to heaven without becoming a Christian. A person may go to heaven without ever having owned a Rolls Royce or even have ridden in a Rolls Royce. But let me sound my trumpet this morning. Nobody can go to heaven without being a Christian. A person may go to heaven without having ever visited the pyramids of Egypt, gone back to the mother country in Liberia, or Senegal, or Kenya. You may have never visited Vatican Square in Rome, Italy, sat down at Buckingham Palace with Queen Elizabeth and our young sister, Megan. I got to take a sidebar conference here. I don't know how you feel about it, but it was good watching the royal wedding. And you know, black people got something to contribute. Help me, Lord Jesus. We are a unique people. And they saw something in that wedding that had never happened in thousands of years. A black woman marrying a prince. Gospel choir singing, soul songs, and a black preacher talking about love. Help me, Lord Jesus. And I must say to every young man or young woman, it doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what your zip code is. That's not what makes an individual. It's the stuff he has on the inside. You get your business straight, and the world will come knocking on your door. But today you can get in God's royal family through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. John, have you been to the water? Have you been baptized? If you have not done so, you ought to do so this morning, because the author and the finisher of our faith said to religious Nicodemus, "Sir, you must be born again." John 3:5. And back yonder in the land of Egypt, God said to Israel, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Exodus 12:13. In computerized America, with all of its cellular phones and Facebook and Twitter and, oh, I can't call all those things, instant videos and fax modems, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that must be applied to our sinful souls. And what the complicated philosophies of men can never do, the blood of Jesus can do. What scientific and technological development of man can never do, the blood Jesus can do. I think I heard somebody singing, there is power, wonder, working power in the blood. There is soul-saving power in the blood. There is sanctifying power in the blood. There is redeeming power in the blood. There is liberating power in the blood. And the only way an individual can come in contact with that blood is in the water of baptism. And I'm praying today that somebody will sing the song by demonstration, take me to the water and wash my sins away. I want to become a child of God. I want to become a Christian. I want to be set free from all of the sins and the baggage in my life. I want to be born again. Two things. The uniqueness and the urgency of being a Christian. Let's talk about the uniqueness of being a Christian. The moment of salvation, when you step out of the dripping waters of baptism, is perhaps the greatest moment that you will ever experience in your life. Help me, somebody. Somebody said, if I won the $400 million lottery, that would be the greatest experience in my life. You don't know what you're talking about. Somebody said, if I could walk down the aisle and marry a prince and become a duchess, that would be the greatest experience in my life. Somebody says, if I could walk across the stage and receive my terminal degree, a doctor's degree, that will be the greatest moment in my life. But let me sound my trumpet. The greatest moment is in your life is when you become a child of God. There is nothing greater. Being a Christian is unique. That word means different, unlike, unparalleled, in a class all by yourself. There is nothing greater than being a Christian. Am I right about it? And the question that's on the floor, John, Mary, are you a child of God? And if you're not a child of God, the preacher man is urging you to do something about it this morning. When you become a child of God, there is a complete transformation, total change of directions in your life, lifestyle of your life made anew. You feel with the Holy Spirit. Your name is written up yonder in heaven. All of your burdens have been washed away, and now you are a recipient of the blessing of Almighty God. Shame has been done away. Now you know the sunshine of blessings from the Lord Almighty. Guilt has been taken away, and now your life is filled with glory, joy, and happiness. All the sorrow is taken away. And I tell you, there is no other experience like that in all the world. John, can you sing this song this morning? I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me, saying, glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Unique. There's nobody like a Christian. A Christian is a God-given name. Isaiah 64, 1 and 2. When the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. That God-given name is Christian. Christian, the person who has been born again and follows Jesus Christ. Christian, that distinguishing name that tells everybody that I belong to Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Christian, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and 12. Christian, no more suffixes, no more affixes, just simply Christian. Uniqueness about the name, not Methodist Christian, not Baptist Christian, not Holiness Christian, not Catholic Christian. I'm not trying to put nobody down, but I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. The word Christian is mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Just 3 times. No prefixes, no affixes, and no suffixes. Hello? I'm getting some funny eyeballs. Now, when you give me funny eyeballs, that's about 20 more minutes to the sermon. So you ought to give me the right eyeballs. And in Acts 11, 26, the Bible says, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. First time the word was mentioned. Acts 26, 28. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. Revised Standard Version. 3 times the word Christian is mentioned in the Bible. And no suffixes nor affixes. If you tell somebody today you are a Christian, the very next question is, what kind? But man, I ain't no kind. I'm just a Christian. That's all I am. And that's all you ought to be. We ought not wear man-made names. We ought to follow what the Bible says. At thy word. According to thy word. And the Bible is right. John, my question is this morning. Are you a Christian? What must a person do to become a Christian? If you watch Joel Osteen this morning, Joel Osteen invariably closes this message. And I'm using Joel Osteen because the stats are he has the largest church in America. He is a mega church preacher. You can hear him every day on television. And he says, I don't like to close my message without giving the Son of Man the opportunity to become a child of God. And then he says, now if you are lost and you want to be saved, repeat after me the sinner's prayer. And between our Father and Amen, he will tell you that you're born again. You're a child of God. That's not in the Bible. If you receive a cripple, count it for a dollar. He will tell you to lay your hand to the radio. Share your secret prayer and wait for the anointing. And you wait, child. You know it. Because you ain't never felt nothing like this. Something's going to come all over you. Start hitting you in the top of your head and electrify you and go all down to the sole of your feet. And child, you won't be able to keep still. That's not how you become a Christian. If you listen to Chili Jakes, he will tell you that the moment you believe, you say, water ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. Child, it's what you got in your heart. Somebody said he baptized those four basketball players, NBA players. He did. But they were taught that they were saved before they were baptized. Hello? Is anybody in the house, or you like the brother in the ghetto walking down the street talking loud on his phone? Didn't pay his bill. He was not connected. Am I connected this morning to some of you? Help me, Lord Jesus. God's word is plain and simple. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Hello? The average person is taught to believe. The moment you believe, child, you're saved, and baptism ain't got nothing to do with it. That's a flat contradiction to Jesus. Hello? Are you still on the line? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Someone said, I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, if Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, $80 billion, I don't know what I'm talking about. Those are just numbers and figures to me. Maybe Brother Brown knows, but I sure enough don't know. But if Bill Gates said, he that believeth and is baptized shall get $5 million. Do you think anybody will ask him, Mr. Gates, is baptism necessary to get that $5 million? Ain't nobody going to be wasting time asking that kind of asinine question. All you want to know is, where is the water? I want them $3 million. Take me to the water. And if you can understand it from a monetary point of view, you can understand what Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John, Mary, have you been to the water like Jesus said? And if you haven't, heaven is not going to be your home. 34 minutes now. Let me deal with the urgency of becoming a Christian. The urgency of becoming a Christian. I want to go to my text. Somebody said, I've been wondering when you're going to get to it. Who told you the text had to be at the beginning of a message? Can I preach a little while in here? But in Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul, standing before King Agrippa, Governor Felix Festus, and he took the center stage, a prisoner standing before royalty. And Paul began to tell his story. And when you start telling your story, you always got to say a word about Jesus Christ. He told his story how he used to persecute the church of Christ. How he was an arch enemy of the church of Christ. But one day, with letters of authority from the high priest, he was traveling on that Damascus road. And he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." And Paul said, "What will you have me to do?" He told him to go down to Damascus and he will be told what you must do. And he said, "King Agrippa, I was not disobedient, but I responded. And I became a child of God." And then he zeroed into King Agrippa. He says, "King Agrippa, I know that thou believest. I know. I don't have any doubts in my mind, King Agrippa, that thou believest." And then King Agrippa said, "Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian." The king probably was embarrassed by such a question from a prisoner. And all of his royal elite friends are around him. He says, "Almost." But the Bible closes without ever recording where King Agrippa ever became a Christian. Almost. To catch your plane is but to miss your plane. Almost to catch your bus is but to miss your bus. Almost saved is but to be lost. I almost got off of the railroad track before the train came is but to be killed. Almost saved is not enough. I almost walked out last Sunday when I heard the preacher man so close and yet so far away. There is an urgency about becoming a child of God. And the Bible closes without Agrippa ever becoming a child of God. Second, there is an urgency about becoming a Christian because Jesus says in John 8:24, "Except you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins." And He says, if you die in your sins, what I am, you cannot come. Someone says that's dogmatic. Where have you been? Truth has always been dogmatic. There's no such thing as alternative facts. Help me, Lord Jesus. Truth is mutually exclusive. It's dogmatic. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Dogmatic. "And no man cometh unto the Father unless he comes by me." John 14:6. Truth is not an alternative fact. Watch him now. "Except you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sin, what I am, you cannot come. John. Millennium, if you die in your sins, the good Lord said, heaven will not be your home. Talk to the morticians. They'll tell you that they do more young funerals than they do old funerals. And the young black man is an endangered species. When my grandchildren leave home, I have no assurance that they'll ever get back home alive. One is 20. I need my wife here to tell me the ages. But I think one is 23 and the other one is 20. Six, something like that. Somewhere in the neighborhood. But they may be stopped by a policeman and may never come back home again. We see it all the time on the news. If you die in your sins, the Lord said, what I am, you cannot come. I would rather die in an exploding airplane crash than to die in my sins. I would rather die with body-wrecking cancer than to die in my sins. Because the Lord said, if I die in my sins, heaven cannot be my home. That's the urgency about becoming a Christian. Third, after death, there's no second chance. You may have flunked out on the midterm final. And you got a tutor and you made up and you got your act together. Stopped playing school and went to school. And you were able to make it up on the final exam and pass the course. And sometimes you may fail a course and you can take it two and three times again until you pass. But I want to tell you something. When you die, if your business is not straight, there's no such thing as a second chance. Can't nobody go to a priest and your mama pay some money and get you out of help me, Lord Jesus. Too late. Rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might give me just one drop of water. Oxymoronic. On earth, he wouldn't give Lazarus the crumb that fell from his table. Now, in hell, he wants Lazarus to give him one drop of water. Let me sound my trumpet. Hell is not going to Acapulco on vacation. Hell is real. He could not get that one drop of water. After death, there's no second chance. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after death is the judgment. The book of Revelation says, when you fall in death, he that is holy, let him be holy still. And he that is filthy, Let him be filthy still. Don't you depend on Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy won't get you out of that, because Jesus says if you die in your sins, whatever you cannot come. There is no such thing as a second chance. That's why you ought to come to Jesus today and let him fix it. For he knows how to fix it. And he'll fix it for who? How does a man, how does a woman become a child of God? What must he do? Five simple things. He has to hear Jesus' love story. How Jesus came through 42 generations that he might save your soul and my soul. They led him up a hill. They whipped him. They scandalized him. And he never said a mumbling word. They stretched him wide. And they hanged him high. Dropped him in a hole previously dug. And Jesus there was suspended on that rugged cross for your sins. In my sins. And there, when people being crucified will curse the day they were born, curse the mother and their father out, but Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, Father, it is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. But that's not the end of Jesus. Buddha died. And he's still dead. Confucius died. But he's still dead. Muhammad died. And he's still dead. But Jesus died. But got up. Early Sunday morning with all power in his hand, never to die again. Glory, hallelujah. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, my hope is not in vain. You got to hear that love story. And then you believe it. Because Jesus says, except you believe in him, you'll die in your sins. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. It's the Son of the living God. And then you repent of your sins. Someone said, well, I don't understand this thing about repentance. Well, if you've been beating your husband, you can't beat him no more. Some men ought to be saying, amen. I ain't going to get no more beatings now. Repentance is a change of mind. Make it up in your mind to stop doing those things that are wrong and make up your mind to do what is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 17 and 30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at it. But now, hath he commanded all men everywhere to repent. And then you must make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Acts 8, 37. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Evangelist Philip said, thou mayest. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. Both the preacher and the candidate got out of the chariot and went down into the water. Way down in the water. Did you see on the news recently where the Pope baptized a black man? Where y'all been? Maybe on this side. Man, this was all over the national news. Phyllis, you didn't see it either? Good God Almighty. Well, they put this on the news where the Pope baptized about 5 or 6 men during the Easter season, so-called Easter season. And one man was an immigrant from Nigeria. He was a soul brother. And you could see he was a soul brother because he wasn't light. He was black like me, you know, dark. But here is the oxymoronic thing about the baptism. They showed this on the news. What the Pope did, he had this dude to bend his head over, and he took a little water and sprinkled it on his head, and they call that baptism. Hello? Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Baptism is a going down into the water. And are coming up out of the water. Sprinkling and pouring are not baptism. John, have you been to the water? If you haven't, you ought to do so now. The uniqueness and the urgency of being a Christian. Let Jesus fix it for you. Can nobody do you like Jesus? The only way you and I are going to be able to stand in this mean and topsy-turvy world, we're going to have Jesus. Does anybody know that he'll fix it for you? Will he open up doors for you that no man can shut? Does anybody know that he'll step into your situation and make a way out of no way? Help me, somebody. Does anybody know that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? He's a leaning post in the time of trouble. And you can take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And you won't hear about it on the other side of town. Help me, somebody. He won't put your business into the street. He's a leaning post in the time of trouble. And millennial, I want you to understand, all of this technology, computers are cold when they're not working right. You can't even get in your own account. All these passwords. Go! And computers will cut you off of lists without thinking anything about you. And once you're cut off, oh, it takes a heap of lot of energy and knowledge to get it back corrected. But Jesus is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And you and I need him. With Trump in the White House and Kim in North Korea, you don't know what's going to happen. And see, Richmond, you are a satellite of New York City. Help me, Lord Jesus. I tell the people in Newark, we're the backyard of New York City. And you're the backyard of also of Washington, D.C. So these are two cities that they want to get rid of. New York and Washington. And trying to get to Washington, they're going to get Richmond too. John, Mary, I'm asking you to come to Jesus. Let him fix your life like nobody else can. By hearing his word, believing it, repenting of your sins, and making that confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. and go down in the liquid tomb of water baptism, and he'll wash your sins away. He'll bless you today. He'll bless you tomorrow. And he'll bless you forevermore. And if you're here today and you are a child of God, but you have not been walking right, you have not been living right, you have not been a light shining child of God, I beg you to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Lord, I've wandered far from God, but now I'm coming home. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. I'm urging you to come today, because James says, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and it vanishes away. John, you don't know how much time you have left. Mary, you don't have tomorrow. All the time you have is right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. When we stand and sing the invitation song, start walking. Don't let the devil change your mind. And so wait till the next stanza and wait. But start walking. And if you make that first step, the Lord will give you the strength and the energy to make the second and the third. Won't you come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him.
Yes, everyone.
His presence.
To say yes, Lord.
Daily.
Won't you uptown now?
I surrender all.
The Lord is calling.
The Lord
is knocking.
All.
God bless you, daughter. Yes, or another.
To thee, my blessed Savior.
Yes, or another. To say yes, Lord.
I yield.
I surrender.
Oh, to Jesus.
The Lord is calling. He's knocking at the door of your soul. Won't you walk down the aisle?
At his feet I bow.
Yes, or another to say yes, Lord.
Only
I yield and I surrender. I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid.
Take me, Jesus.
It's not too late to come. Yes, or another to say yes, Lord.
Surrender.
I yield.
Oh, I surrender. Oh,
the Lord is calling. Yes, or another to say yes, Lord. I yield and I surrender.
Savior, I surrender. Oh, I surrender.
Won't you come?
Oh,
the Lord is calling. Yes, or another.
To thee, my blessed Savior.